All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I had mentioned that there's one of the brethren sends out a daily devotional thing, email, and Jerry had gotten one. And one of the ones that he sent out was about the wrath. He actually sent a couple out. I'm going to read one of them tonight. And when we studied through the end times and the 70th week and those things, we talked some about the wrath to come. And really, the whole issue of the wrath to come and what the wrath to come is, and, you know, are we appointed to wrath, and how does that wrath relate to us and all of that, was one of the things that really started me thinking a little differently about the end times. When I started to study the wrath and what the wrath is, and sort of realize that to just look at all that end time as wrath without understanding what the wrath is and what's going on is not a very good way to study the scriptures. So this email that went out talked about the wrath to come, and it's Romans 5:9. So if you turn to Romans 5:9, we'll read it, and then I'll read the email. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And here's the comment about that. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, a few things happened to us the moment we believed. First, we see that we are justified or declared righteous by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the righteousness that we have is not our own, but it is Christ's righteousness put to our account. Much more then, we are not only justified, but we are saved from wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. What wrath is this? Is this the lake of fire that we are saved from? Yes, definitely. We are saved from hell and the lake of fire, which is where God pours out his wrath on unbelievers. But could this also be the tribulation period, also known as the wrath of God? Yes, it could be this also, because we as believers in the body of Christ are not going to endure the tribulation period. This is one of the unique blessings given to us. So as Romans 14:5 says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind, I'm not going to tell you what to believe, but search the scriptures and see what is truth. So we're going to take that advice, and we're going to do that. I think in deciding how we're going to look at this, probably break it down into two sections. So maybe, depending on how far we get, maybe just do one tonight and one next week. But the point here that's being made, we're saved from wrath, and then there's a connection made between that wrath. Yes, definitely we are saved from hell and the lake of fire, which is where God pours out his wrath on unbelievers. But could this also be the tribulation period, also known as the wrath of God? Yes, it could be this also, because we as believers in the body of Christ are not going to endure the tribulation period. So that's the question. So there's kind of a progression that goes on in people's thinking, in the traditional imminent pre-trib thinking. And the progression is this: we are delivered from wrath. And that's clear, and there are other verses in 1 Thessalonians where Paul says this, basically the same thing. And we'll look at those before we're done with this little study here. We're saved from wrath. Wrath equals the tribulation. He uses the phrase there, the tribulation period. So wrath is the tribulation period. Therefore, since we are delivered from wrath, we're not appointed to wrath, we are saved from wrath. If wrath equals the tribulation period, then we cannot be here during the tribulation period. So that's the reasoning that, you know, and that's reasoning that I would have given you for a whole many, many years, that's the way that equation would work. Wrath equals the tribulation period. You can't be here during the tribulation period because you're not appointed to wrath. So a couple things about that. First, what I want to do is define some things, because when you do this, when you say wrath equals the tribulation period, you've really not defined things very well based on what the scripture says. Turn back to Romans chapter 24 for a moment.
Romans
24. Yeah, I got 20 bucks for the first person that finds Romans 24, all right?
I found it!
Just wrote it. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. The church of what's happening now, I guess. So. Here's the first thing. This phrase that's used, it uses it twice here, the tribulation period. We as believers in the body of Christ are not going to endure the tribulation period. Could this also be the tribulation period, also known as the wrath of God? That phrase, the tribulation period, is nowhere found in Scripture. In fact, the phrase, the tribulation, is only found once in Scripture, and that's what the verse we're going to look at now, Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Then shall be great tribulation. And if you go down to verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the star shall fall, from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's the only time the phrase the tribulation is used, is there in verse 29. It's clearly a reference back to verse 21, the great tribulation, or I'm sorry, not the, for then shall be great tribulation. And then you read which is described there. And then immediately after the tribulation of those days, what tribulation is that? Well, that's great tribulation that's talked about in verse 21. And why does it matter if you say the tribulation or if you say tribulation? Well, when you say the tribulation, and this in this email, it's actually made even stronger. When you say the tribulation, what have you done with tribulation? It's one. It's the tribulation. There's one of them. Yeah. You've made it a period of time. And those two go together. You've made it a certain, one specific, the tribulation, a period of time. Now, in that email, the author actually did this, put the word period after it, the tribulation period. So it clearly is reference to time. When the Bible uses the term tribulation, it's a reference to condition. So, in other words, the way we might be inclined to say verse 29 is just immediately after the tribulation. You hear people talk like that all the time. Well, this happens before the tribulation. This happens after the tribulation. This happens in the middle of the tribulation. But see, that whole way of expressing it is contrary to Scripture, is never used in Scripture. The tribulation, meaning a period of time called the tribulation, is never used. It's called Daniel's 70th week. Part of it is called the time of Jacob's trouble. At the end of it is the day of the Lord. So there are names for that time period that comes at the end, but nowhere is it called the tribulation. Tribulation is always a reference to what's going on. Even here in verse 29, when the phrase the tribulation is used immediately after the tribulation, it's modified by the phrase of those days. It's the condition of those days. Of what days? Well, the days that have just been described here, verse 21, then shall be great tribulation. The days when there is great tribulation. So, tribulation, as we use the term oftentimes today, as a period of time. So, here's what we've done. We've taken an act of God, wrath, and we've said this act of God, wrath, equals a time period. But the wrath of God doesn't equal a time period, does it? That's not, the wrath of God is the wrath of God, And you can see the wrath of God poured out at various times in Scripture. Wrath is wrath, but it does not equal a time period. Now, let's what is tribulation, if we're going to define tribulation? Well, tribulation, and I'll read you a dictionary definition, severe affliction, distress of life, and vexation. So tribulation is severe affliction, distress of life, vexation. Vexation is a good one probably to give you the idea. Fear of life. So tribulation is a condition. Now, wrath is always tribulation. If you are experiencing the wrath of God, are you experiencing vexation? Yes, you are. So wrath is always tribulation. However, tribulation is not always a result of wrath. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. And then, because one thing about this term, forget about it as a time period, because it's not a time period, it's a condition. So it's a condition, and the condition can be brought on by a couple different things. The condition can be brought on by wrath, and if you are experiencing wrath, you are certainly experiencing tribulation, vexation. But you can also be experiencing vexation, and it has nothing to do with the wrath of God. So let's just look at that for a minute. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Now it is Romans, all right? The three different ways that that term is used in Scripture. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans 5 and verse number 3. We'll start at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, verse 3, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. First, in that usage of tribulation, does it refer to a time period? No, it doesn't. Second, in that usage of tribulation, does it refer to wrath? No, it doesn't. Because in this very chapter, chapter 5, verse 9, is where Paul says, we shall be saved from wrath. Yet, we do experience tribulation. So wrath will always bring tribulation, but tribulation does not always mean wrath. You can be experiencing tribulation, and Paul tells you, in fact, that you will experience tribulation, and you should glory in it, and it works patience, but you will never taste the wrath of God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Yes, assuming wrath is the wrath of God, yes. If you are experiencing the wrath of God, you are experiencing tribulation. That is, you're experiencing vexation, severe affliction. We'll spell that out. Severe affliction. Is that right? Severe affliction, you're experiencing those. 1 Thessalonians 3, 4, for verily, when we were with you, 1 Thessalonians 3, 4, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Paul says that when he was there before, he told them that he would suffer tribulation, we, those with him, and all believers, actually, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now, again, is that tribulation a time period? No, it's not. And I'm just asking that question with each one of these because you will not find a place in Scripture where tribulation is a time period. That is completely an invention of man to say that the tribulation is this period of time that is Daniel's 70th week. Never in Scripture is it used that way. Also here in 1 Thessalonians 3, is that tribulation the wrath of God?
No,
it's not. It's not the wrath of God. It's not a time period. Again, Paul's experiencing it. Those with him are experiencing it. We're going to experience it, so it can't be the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation unto them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It is a righteous thing, verse 6, for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And then he goes on to describe that tribulation. They are punished with everlasting destruction in verse 9 from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Is that tribulation in verse 6 a time period? I'm going to recompense a period of time. No, I'm going to recompense some action. Now, that tribulation, is it the wrath of God? Is that, yes, is that vexation and severe affliction brought on because of the wrath of God? Yes, it is. Here's a question. Who is it brought on? Those who trouble them. Those who are troubling the church, they are going to receive the wrath of God, their ultimate end. And Paul's not saying in this context, well, they're going to receive the wrath of God tomorrow because they've troubled you. In fact, it's been 2,000 years. Unbelievers haven't received the wrath of God yet. But he tells you pretty clearly when it's going to happen. In verse 7, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and in verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. That's when this wrath, this tribulation is going to happen. It's going to happen when he returns in flaming fire, when he comes with his holy angels, when he comes to be admired in us, when he comes to be glorified in us, then there's going to be tribulation, severe affliction, that is the wrath of God, that is on unbelievers. So there is tribulation that is not wrath, and that tribulation that's not wrath, when Paul says we glory in tribulation, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. Who suffers that kind of tribulation? Saints. And who else? Everybody. Yeah, saints do. That's right. That's the point. It does come on saints. But it's an every man. It's an every man kind of tribulation. It's just the result of living in this world. And we'll look at that a little more in a minute. Then there's another tribulation that is wrath, and it is on unbelievers. And under, I'm going to put in parentheses after unbelievers, Satan's children. And you'll see in a minute why I'm doing that. Understand, all unbelievers, Jesus Christ says, you're of your father, the devil. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, you were the children of what? No. Well, he does say children of wrath, but the children of disobedience. Yes, children of disobedience. So you are the children of disobedience. You are your father, the devil. You are because of that, there is wrath. There's another wrath, Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 5. Isaiah 10 and verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil and to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. So here's the Antichrist, the Assyrian, in the passage. I'll send him against an hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath. I send him against the people of my wrath. So is what's being described in Isaiah, it's a vexation and severe affliction that comes. Is it the result of God's wrath? Yes, it is. He says, the Assyrian, I will send him against the people of my wrath. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, the passage we looked at earlier, because it's a reference to this same event. Almost said same time period, and that wouldn't be right. It's a reference to this same event, this same activity. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, then shall be great tribulation, and in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, well, who is this all happening to? Verse 22, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets to show you great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, it shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, excuse me, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. As the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whatsoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. All of this description of these events is a description of something that's going to happen to Israel. Now, God pours out wrath. He pours out wrath on Israel. So, because he pours out wrath on them, because why? Because of unbelief. So, again, his wrath is being poured out on unbelievers. But the nation Israel, are they Satan's children? Yeah. The guys that he stood there and said, you're your father the devil, you know, they were Jews. They were scribes and Pharisees. However, they do have a standing. Turn to the book of Hebrews. In chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you. Now this is the writer of Hebrews writing to unbelieving Israel to explain to them the cross and the sacrifice of Christ and what they need to do about it. So he writes to that nation and he says this in verse 5, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto who? Children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. These people that are tasting God's wrath, and the writer of Hebrews introduces the term there, chastisement, they are God's children. Ye've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. They are his sons. They are, I'll just put them both up here, sons slash children of God. Now, they're in a backslidden condition, and they've been not following their father, and they have made an alliance, in fact, with Satan's man. But as a nation, their identity is, right here in Hebrews chapter 12, they are the children of God. And God speaks to them and deals with them as children, as with a son, and you endure chastening. God deals with you as a son. And what son is it whom the father chasteneth not? So the chastening of that nation, the chastening of Israel, it's still because of their unbelief, but it's different. And there's a word, and people can say, well, that's not in Scripture either, and it's right. There's a word that we would use to describe this wrath on unbelievers that are Satan's children, and that word is punitive. It's wrath for the sake of wrath. It's wrath so that you suffer for what you've done. The wrath that comes on children is different. Children of God is different because it's called chastening, chastisement. And chastening wrath is for the purpose of correction. Chastening wrath is what you do to your children. You chasten. It may involve wrath and it may be unpleasant, as the verse says there, but ultimately it's for the purpose of correcting them. Punitive wrath is, we're going to send somebody to the electric chair. He did the crime, he's got to do the penalty. That's it. You are not, if you send someone to the electric chair, are you going to reform him? Not hardly. You know, it's just, that's it. It's punitive wrath. Here's a crime, there's a penalty, you pay the penalty. That's the difference between the two. All of these things in Scripture are referred to as tribulation. All of them. So when you start talking about tribulation, you cannot just say, oh, tribulation is tribulation is tribulation, and it's the tribulation. You certainly can't say it's the tribulation, because nowhere in Scripture does the term mean that, a period of time. And when you say the tribulation period, you've really made up something that's not in the Scripture anywhere. And even when you talk about the first term that was used in the article, wrath, you can't just talk about wrath, because there are clearly different kinds of wrath for different purposes. Do you chasten your children different than we send people to the electric chair? Is that a different purpose? Does it serve different ends? Is it for different reasons? There's nothing similar about them, except that they both can cause severe affliction and vexation. Hopefully the chastening of your children doesn't bring fear of life, but it is vexing to them. Very vexing, perhaps. The purpose of it, though, is always correction, chastisement. It's not punitive. Now, so the term tribulation, and when you get to the end times, right now, it's very easy. If you are suffering vexation, is it because of God's wrath?
No.
No, it's not. Why? Right. He's treating us as adult sons, so we as individuals would not be chastened, because he deals with us as with adult sons, not as children as he dealt with Israel. But what's another reason? Okay, we're in a sin-cursed world, we're going to suffer. But how else do you know it's not God's wrath? Even when something happens to somebody that's not a son of God, that's an unbeliever, How do you know it's not God's wrath?
Because it's not judged on what they have done. Usually it's just what
okay,
happened.
You tell us. How about
all right. I'll ask another question. What is the here we go to, what is the period of time in which we live called?
Grace.
The dispensation of grace. So if you live in the dispensation of grace, then is anything you see going on going to be God's wrath?
No.
No. It's all circumstances. There will be tribulation, to be sure. Paul tells you that. But it's all the tribulation that is not wrath, and it's this every man wrath. All creation groans and travails together in pain until now. Not only they, but we which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, all of that. We've been through all that in the past. So what you see today is certainly not wrath. But as you get to the end times, you see all of this begin to happen. You see, go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Get Matthew 12 and get Daniel chapter 11. As mankind continues to go further away from God, and you know, when we talked about the end times, we talked all about Romans 11 and how you know, we don't stand in the faith anymore and all of that. So that's a process that's going to happen, that is sure to happen. But as mankind continues, world conditions become worse and worse. Matthew 24, verse 3 in Matthew 24, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. All these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes, divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. They shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax old. But he shall endure the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and on goes. Most of that stuff we just read, perhaps all that stuff we just read, is not the wrath of God. People will say, well, that's the tribulation period. Well, not only is it not the tribulation period, it is not the wrath of God that is usually associated with the tribulation period. It is tribulation. It is tribulation. But it's not in that 70th week. It's the wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom. It's the things that take place in a sin-cursed world, and it's the things that take place as a sin-cursed world goes faster and faster towards its own destruction. And it seems like, to me, you read verse 10, then shall many be offended, they shall betray one another, hate one another, false prophets. Verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, they shall kill you, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It appears as though those things are maybe things that are happening before the 70th week, because one of the ways Antichrist comes to power is that he brings peace to this whole situation. You know, the other way to look at it is that betraying and that hating by the nations is what happens in the middle of the week, which is described there, verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, because then Antichrist will turn on that nation, on the remnant. But either way, wherever you want to start the 70th week of Daniel, it's clear that world conditions deteriorate long before the 70th week begins. Daniel chapter 11, and we're not going to go through all Daniel chapter 11 again. We studied it, in detail. And you can talk about whether it's already been fulfilled or it remains to be fulfilled, or you can do what I do and say it has been fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled also, just like all the prophets have an immediate meaning and then a future meaning. But if you say that Daniel 11 is a future fulfillment, in verse number 6, for example, in the end of years, they shall join themselves together. The king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. She shall not retain the power of his arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, he that strengthened her in these times. To verse 8, they and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods with their princes and their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue continue more years than the king of the north. And verse 13, the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. When you read Daniel 11, there's all this stuff about years and years passing and wars happening and kings arising and falling and bringing armies and riches and all the rest. All of that stuff is happening prior to the 70th week. All of that stuff happens before there is a covenant. In verse 23, after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. That's the Antichrist there, and that's the covenant that he makes. Down in verse 20, you see him come on the scene. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. We'll make no comment on our current administration. In the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. So there you've got, you know, the rise of Antichrist, and then as you go on, he makes the covenant. That's all the 70th week stuff. But there's all these convulsions that have taken place before that can easily be described and are described as tribulation. But it's not wrath. It's an everyman thing. So if you were here, and, you know, of course, now the thing that's in vogue now with the imminent pre-trib people is to say, well, it's not right before the tribulation, right before the 70th week. It's years before that. Well, you know, in the good old days when imminent pre-trib people thought that the rapture was right before the 70th week, there's a lot of tribulation going on before the 70th week arrives that is not brought about by God's wrath, but that is this everyman tribulation that comes because of the events that we read about in Daniel 11, that you read about in Matthew chapter 24, and go over to 2 Thessalonians. I'm not sure I want to go there yet. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. The tribulation that we just talked about in Daniel 11 and Matthew 24 is no different than what Paul talks about here to the church at Thessalonica, the persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. They endure them just because they're on the earth. The earth is sinful. The earth in general does not like God's people. So all through history, God's people have been persecuted. It was happening in Paul's day. It's happening tonight. It might not be happening to us right here, but it is happening tonight on planet Earth that God's people are being persecuted, are suffering tribulation, but not the wrath of God. So there is tribulation that every man suffers just because you live on planet Earth, but God's people also have had always sort of a special tribulation brought on by other people, brought on by unbelievers, brought on by ungodly men. That's what Paul writes about, and as ungodliness gets worse, it's going to get worse and worse. So there's that tribulation, and we experience it, and it cannot separate us from the love of God, and it's not an issue for us. And at the end times, that kind of tribulation is going to get much worse. Then there is, of course, Israel signs that covenant with in the middle of the 70th week. When the covenant is broken, turn back to Jeremiah chapter 30. There is now a different kind of tribulation that starts. And this tribulation is wrath. It is what we read about in Isaiah chapter 10, when the Assyrian is used by God. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. You understand what he's saying? Why do these men all look like they're having babies? Why is it that the men, you know, asking each other whether a man doth travail with child? Wherefore, why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Why are these men experiencing tribulation as a woman in birth? Verse 7, alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. Is Jacob's trouble wrath from God? Yes, it is. Boy, I had to think a long time for that one. Yes, it is. Correct. He's the rod in God's hands. I will bring him against an hypocritical nation. So, yes, it is the wrath of God. It's this one. It's the chastening wrath against unbelieving children of God. That's what it is. And that certainly happens. Now, let's not think about time periods. But if God were tonight to begin to pour out wrath through the Antichrist on unbelieving Israel, would you be concerned about that? Would you be expecting it to fall on you?
No.
Why not?
You're not
a Jew. You're not unbelieving Israel. You're not appointed to wrath because you're not unbelieving Israel. And unbelieving Israel, they're going to get some wrath. But if that wrath started tonight, you would not taste of that wrath. You might be affected by it. It might affect the world situation, but you would not taste of that wrath. Turn to Matthew 24 again. Yes, Matthew 24, verse 29. after, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and the tribulation of those days, as we saw in verse 21, is that chastening wrath on unbelieving children of God, Israel. Immediately after that, in verse 29, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then he goes through the parable of the fig tree and the days of Noah and all the rest. But ultimately, he gathers out the wheat. He gathers out, brings it into his garner. He sends his angels, gathers out his elect, and then he pours out his wrath. Verse 51, just cut to the chase here to the end, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And when you see this phrase, it's never good. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see that phrase, bad things are happening. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there at the return of Christ, there's more wrath. When he sends, they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. He sends his angels. They gather out his elect. One's taken, another's left. Somebody's going to get wrath. When that wrath comes, is that punitive wrath or chastening wrath? Is he trying to reform the unbelievers at the end of the 70th week? They're just, you're just gonna burn, baby, burn. That's it. You're just done. Are you worried about that?
No.
I'm not worried about that either. If that started to fall tonight, we would be not around anymore, would we? Because, well, let me get into all that. But the point is this. When you talk about tribulation, there's tribulation that all men face because we live in this world. Part of that tribulation of living in this world as a believer is that the world doesn't like you, and that will bring extra tribulation to you. But it's in no way related to God's wrath. It's no way related to his judgment. It happens in the dispensation of grace, even at a time when God's wrath is withheld. There is punitive wrath. Punitive wrath is when you get to the end of the 70th week of Daniel, and he comes back, and Paul describes it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that they are punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. There is also chastening wrath, which is Israel being corrected in the 70th week by the Antichrist. And Keith made a good point. This chastening that God does in the 70th week is not done directly by God, but done through the person of the Antichrist. The Assyrian is the rod in my hand. This wrath at the end on unbelievers, the heavens split open, and there he comes, and there's the fire proceedeth out of his mouth, and it sets on fire the foundations of the earth, and the gates of hell are opened and enlarged, and all, I mean, it's big doings. Because he's directly involved with all that. Now, all of that is referred to in the Bible as tribulation. All of this, these two different kinds of wrath are referred to as wrath. Whether it's the Antichrist doing it, or God doing it, or who it's for. You cannot just say, well, wrath, and I've had people tell me, wrath is wrath. Wrath is wrath. Well, no. There's all different kinds of wrath in Scripture. Two we've looked at tonight. Tribulation is tribulation. I'm delivered from wrath. I'm delivered from tribulation. So Well, you're certainly not delivered from the tribulation of Romans 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. You're certainly not delivered from that. Paul tells you you're going to experience it. So it's not all the same. You're certainly not delivered from the wrath of ungodly men, that kind of wrath. But there are some wrath that you're delivered from. So what we have to do, since there's all this different stuff, it is not a time period. Tribulation is never a time period. The tribulation period is a bad doctrine. Bad doctrine. It is never a time period. And to say wrath always equals tribulation, or tribulation always equals wrath, I should say, is not good. Wrath is always, does always bring tribulation, but tribulation is not always a result of wrath. So what you need to do in Romans 5 and 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul makes these statements about not being appointed to wrath and being saved from wrath and not and being delivered from the wrath to come. You need to understand what wrath is he talking about and how are you delivered from it and what's the context. How many times do we say to a Baptist or anybody, you got to look at the context? And you know, that's the problem with this email, this article. It doesn't look at any context. Well, we shall be saved from wrath. Well, wrath equals the tribulation period. Therefore, ipso facto, we have to be raptured out before the tribulation period. Well, is that what the context of Romans 5 is? We're going to look at the context next week of Romans 5. We're going to look at the context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul makes these statements. And understanding what all these different things can be, understand in the context that Paul is speaking, which of these is he talking about? I'll just give you something to think about for next week. I'll just give you a question. Can you?
What was that again?
1 and 5. Yeah. I think it's 1, 10, 5, 9. Can you be delivered from something that is not your destiny to begin with? If I said to Keith, I'm going to deliver you from the pain of childbirth. Would that really be a big deal? You know? What do you say? Oh, thank you. Okay. So just think about that. If it's not something you're appointed to anyhow, or it's not something that is about you, then you cannot be delivered from it. Now, if I told a woman, if I said, Mary Jane, you can be delivered from the pain of childbirth, now that means something. She's already, yeah. I was trying not to talk about how old she is, but that's all right. Fran brought it up. So if you say to a woman, you'll be delivered from the pain of childbirth, that means something. Because they are potentially going to experience childbirth, and I'm going to deliver you from that pain. If you say to a man, I'm going to deliver you from the pain of childbirth, it means nothing because that's not what he was destined to. That wasn't his destiny to have children. So to deliver him from the pain of childbirth, it means nothing. So just think about that, and we'll try to relate that to the end times next week, all right? All right, let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, the opportunity of looking at your word tonight and studying it together. As we've done so, we pray that the things said and done are brought honor and glory to the name of Christ and edified the saints. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.